Hi, I'm Carl Azus. Welcome to CNN Student News. First up this Tuesday, officials in France have started clearing away the jungle. That's the nickname for a refugee camp. It's become a symbol of the challenges that the continent has faced in its most serious refugee crisis since World War II. The jungle's in the northern French city of Calais. It's made up of tents, makeshift shelters, campers in bad shape, and thousands of migrants and refugees lived there, many of them from Afghanistan, Eritrea, and Sudan. So why Calais? Because it's connected by an undersea tunnel to Britain, and many migrants wanted to get to Britain because its economy is relatively good and its unemployment rate is low. But European Union rules say migrants have to apply for asylum to stay in the first European country they arrive in, so France in this case. And that nation's government says they can either stay in France or go back to their home countries. There's been some violence between the migrants who don't want to leave and police, and the relocation process could take a week.
The migrants began lining up here even before the sun had risen. The many hundreds who were determined to take up the French government's offer and try to seek asylum in one of France's regions. They go through this line into the hangar just over there where they get to choose a region. Then they're put on buses and taken directly to where they're to seek asylum, which is why they've come with all their worldly belongings. This, in a sense, is the first part of the process, the evacuation of the camp ahead of its demolition. We caught up with one of those migrants who'd arrived nice and early to ask him why he'd chosen to give up on his dream of getting one day to the United Kingdom.
I feel better. It's good for us. So we're living like animals, not like humans. Did you see in the jungle? Some places. It's very sad place, boring place. So, like animals, we live like animals in the jungle.
It's one of those who's decided to take up the French government's offer. In a sense, though, the much more difficult part of this process begins when the bulldozers move in and the camp itself begins to be dismantled. We've spoken to many people here who do not want to take up the French government's offer and who are determined, instead of clinging on to their dream of making it to the UK. And that's why the police presence here is as great as it is. 1,200 ordinary policemen and riot policemen are on standby to deal with that second part of the evacuation, the dismantling of the camp itself.
These types of hexagonal shapes over the ocean are, in essence, air bombs. They're formed by what are called microbursts. They're blasts of air that come down out of the bottom of the cloud and then hit the ocean and then create waves that can sometimes be massive in size as they start to interact with each other.
Up next, selfies. Love them or hate them, a recent study from Penn State University examined the science behind viewing them. It looked at survey responses from 255 people. It focused on how they reacted to seeing other people's selfies on social media. It found that those who spent a lot of time looking at others' selfies tended to feel worse about themselves. Researchers think it might be because of jealousy or feeling their own lives don't measure up. There's a different response, though, to groupies, selfies of a group of people. And the study found that those who spent time looking at groupies tended to feel better about themselves. Might have something to do with a sense of belonging, a connection to the community in the picture. Some research on the effects of posting selfies is inconclusive. It's not clear if it makes the posters feel better or worse. For many, it depends on the kinds of responses they get to their selfies. Kicking off a two-part series today on video games. The industry had more than $23 billion in revenue last year. A 2015 Pew survey indicated that 72% of American teenagers play them, about 84% of all boys in the U.S. and 59% of all girls. But games have their downsides as well as their upsides, and this week we're examining both, starting with the mental and physical threats they can pose to gamers.
Oh, Fury, he's gonna go in. This should be the first blood. They got the Sprout on Sanjing as well. There's probably gonna be a double. Denny Dalton, it hits.
The game is Dota 2, and this is the international tournament. At stake, a whole lot of cash and bragging rights that your team is the best in the world.
Not me, have just won $1 million.
How did you get into gaming in the first place?
I started playing online and just got really hooked to this game, and then eventually, out of nowhere, just some team was like, you know, do you want to win some gear by playing in this tournament? I'm like, yeah, sure, that sounds fun. And it just slowly progressed into getting paid a little bit. First you got gear, and then you got paid a little salary, and then here we are today. There's multi-million dollar tournaments.
Just going back to that early time, though, what was it about the gaming that really attracted you, do you think?
It was just, like, very mentally stimulating, I guess. It could keep my attention for hours, and then you make little mistakes, and, like, you just want to play a new one to, like, fix those mistakes. So it's just, like, every game just made you want to play better. So it just, like, was very addicting, I guess.
And that addiction helps explain why Dota claims more than 13 million unique players a month. Spending too much time in video gaming's alternative world can lead to some serious real-world injuries.
So this is your owner, Styloid. So
Dr. Levi Harrison is the self-proclaimed and now trademarked esports doctor. Dr. Levi is an orthopedic surgeon specializing in hand, wrist, and upper extremity conditions. Gamers seek him out from just down the street in California and from as far away as the Middle East.
Are there certain types of injuries that are the most common?
Well, yes. I see a lot of repetitive stress injuries, specifically tendonitis. I also see carpal tunnel. I see cuticle tunnels.
If somebody came to me, and I don't take care of these types of injuries, but if someone came to me and said, look, I'm having a lot of pain from playing these games, I would say...
You would say...
Don't play these games as much.
And I would say not necessarily. Taking a 5-minute break every 60 minutes, doing the stretches, doing the exercises, but more importantly, staying well hydrated when you're gaming to not just sit there for 12 or 14 hours.
But the problem with extreme gamers, they just don't know when enough is enough. China was the first country in the world to declare internet addiction a clinical disorder in 2008. These teenagers in Beijing can't pull themselves away from the computer. Not to eat, not to sleep, not even to go to school. The documentary Web Junkie follows them as their parents have them admitted to Daxing Internet Addiction Treatment Center. It's an attempt to break them of their bad habits. We decided to go see director Tao Ran ourselves. He's a psychologist who established this facility to teach children how to use the internet responsibly. Tao says he's rescued thousands of addicted teens through a mixture of medicine and psychology. He claims 80% of teenagers can recover if their family is engaged in the process, but only half that if they're going it alone. So here the boys are learning basic life skills, like washing clothes and making their beds, as well as games that challenge their minds and bodies. They tell us Tao's program has helped their relationships with their families, and that when they leave, they're going to spend more time in the real world.
Before we go, it's like a hotel room with no heat, no room service, and no walls. It's located in Estes Park, Colorado, and costs $1,200 a night, but you can't beat the view. Cliff camping, sleeping on the face of a cliff, used to be for experienced climbers only. But a U.S. company is helping amateur climbers do it. A guide goes with you to help set up your hanging cot, and then you're free to relax, assuming you can relax. Might leave experienced climbers stone-faced, but it might be repelling to others. It'd set them on edge. You'd have to get acclimated, and you'd be adrenaline for a long night. But as long as you don't mind a rock-hard headboard and you don't ever sleepwalk, this could be great for someone who really likes hanging out. Thanks for hanging out with us. I'm Carl Azus. What's on tomorrow's show? We'll keep you in suspense.